Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Nuala O'Connor-Kelly, Chief Privacy Officer at the Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Paul Hempstead. Nuala, we understand that you file an annual report directly to Congress. Can you tell us more about this reporting relationship?
It's an unusually drafted provision, our statutory authority, in that most reports issued by the department obviously are issued by the secretary. So it's a little quirk of drafting, but I think it was intended to be, frankly, actually much more than that. And I've talked to some of the staffers, and they intended for this office to have, as I was saying a little earlier, kind of an ombudsman-like quality, an ability to report in a kind of an unconstrained manner about concerns and about the response of the department to public concern and outcry about privacy invasion or privacy complaints. We've reported a number of times, not just in our annual report, but in specific instances. We've been asked to investigate or analyze really the use of the no-fly list in the airline context. We've been asked to review the use of commercial data by the department to make sure that it's meeting public expectations. And we see these really as constructive ways to tell the public what the department's doing, but also to tell folks at the department, here's the right way to be doing these things, and you know, here's a way to succeed with our programs, but also keeping privacy in mind at all times. And so we've been lucky to have just a really good relationship with the members of Congress who oversee our office and who've expressed concerns about these issues at the department. And again, they fall on both sides of the aisle. I think privacy is a universal issue, really, more than a Republican or Democrat one.
Nuala, many of the organizations within DHS have very long histories and well-formed cultures. How is your office contributing to the culture at DHS?
I am fascinated, absolutely fascinated by organizational culture because I came from a high-tech company that was 5 years old and that was run by, I think at the time, a 37-year-old billionaire. And at 32, I was probably the second oldest person in the company. So, you know, it was really a fun job and a great place to work and a great entrepreneurial environment. That's a very different culture from any government organization almost. There are parts of the Department of Homeland Security that date back to several centuries ago. It is hard to make change in cultures that are that old and that well established. And we have other parts of the department that are brand new, that were created in the department's enabling statutes. So we've got 2-year-old departments and 200-year-old departments within the Department of Homeland Security. I think the challenge for all of us is to create a unified culture. And I'm so incredibly impressed by some of the language that Deputy Secretary Michael Jackson has used about creating one DHS where employees understand that their career trajectory is tied to the department, that they can succeed, you know, as a Coast Guard agent who does or a member who goes to do a detail in the Secret Service or in the Customs and Border section or in enforcement agencies, that there is a respect for professionalism and growth and opportunity across the department that isn't tied to any one subset of the department. I have a lot of respect for the organizations like the Customs Service, for example, that date back, I think, to the Constitution. I think people have mentioned that a number of times. But they have developed a career personnel track that is among the most professional, I would say, in the federal service. It attracts a terrifically high caliber of employee and promotes employees for their best work. I think we want to look across the department and build on what's already working and build those structures out, and then also take this opportunity as a brand new 2-year-old agency to be a little entrepreneurial, to be a little more open to new ways of doing things. I think people have been talking about for decades now, bringing a private sector kind of ethos into the government space. There are terrifically talented people. I think I've been more than impressed by the folks I've been able to hire and that I work with at DHS and across the service. Let's train and manage and promote them in a way and with the speed and with the benefits that you can see in the private sector. There are certainly benefits to being a government employee, but there are downsides in some of the inflexibilities as well. So let's kind of clean those weeds out of the way of the good folks who are trying to get work done.
Nuala, you touched a little bit upon collaboration. What are some of the other critical success factors or challenges in working across an organization the size of DHS?
I think translating, making sure that our mission is explained within the department in a way that people understand that it's part of supporting the overall DHS mission. You know, we're not just there to put a rubber stamp on a program to say, yeah, it's great, it's super, it's a terrific idea. We are going to ask the hard questions. But in asking the hard question, it's to get to the end game, which is to get a worthwhile or valid idea out the door and in a manageable time frame and in a manageable way that respects the individual, respects the citizen. Often folks are so focused, and sometimes I'm sure that the same criticism could be levied of my office, we're so focused on our own mission, we can't necessarily conceive of how important others' missions are as well. And so just making sure we all understand it really is one team, one fight, as has been said, that we all have our part to play in the larger drama of DHS, but that it's about getting to the finish line.
Mila, DHS interfaces with several different federal agencies. Many of them do not have chief privacy officers. How do you ensure that privacy issues are handled according to DHS standards and other applicable laws to people like the intelligence community and other civil agencies?
Well, thanks for making me sound so important that I get to tell everybody else what to do, but that's not exactly the case. But in fact, there are more and more chief privacy officers that are statutorily required. We've had statutory mandates for a number of other federal agencies that have exactly followed our statutory language and, in fact, enhanced and expanded on it. We've got a great new person over at the National Intelligence Director, a privacy and civil liberties officer. We've got statutory language that encourages or in fact, requires every federal agency to name a senior government official who is the overseeing person for privacy policy for each federal agency. I think you're seeing a federal agencies come to that view that you need a senior person with a lens on privacy. And, you know, I'm joking when I say that it was because of our office. It's really largely mirroring or imitating the private sector, which has had great success. Really, one of the leading chief privacy officers in the country is Harriet Pearson at IBM, who I think actually has a much bigger title. But she was one of the early leaders of the viewpoint that you can have a successful privacy practice within an organization. I don't know if you guys want to get into international, but our way of looking at privacy is a little different in structure, but not necessarily in principle to the rest of the world, in that we have embedded privacy officers within our federal agencies and within our companies. You know, other parts of the world have freestanding offices that are separate and apart from their federal agencies. You know, there are different ways to do it, but I think the proof is in the pudding. You know, what's the outcome? Do we see good and thoughtful programs and policies and new business products coming out of these institutions? And I think the answer is yes. I think you've seen great success of privacy officers in the private sector, and I think that the federal government is really following that lead and realizing also that the use of personal information has become one of the most compelling concerns about any organization that has information and that needs information to do its job, whether it's a bank, a hospital, or a federal agency.
Well, you mentioned international partner agencies. What about other partnerships? What are critical to the privacy office where you are, perhaps private sector, advocacy groups, individual citizens?
Absolutely. And let me run down the list starting with our own agency first, actually. We work every single day with our Office of General Counsel and our various other leadership offices, our policy office, our international shop, you know, the program offices across the department. So partnering with the leadership, but also partnering at kind of a mid and lower and all throughout the levels of our agencies are the right way to do the job and to make sure the job's getting done. Across the federal service, obviously with privacy offices, but also with our partner agencies, justice and defense and the intelligence community as kind of one, you know, operational force. I think the idea really after 9/11 is to break down the walls and make sure that the information is going where it's supposed to be going and not where it's not supposed to be going. Our mission is to make sure that information is used legitimately and thoughtfully and in a limited fashion, but not that no information is used, because information really is one of the lifebloods of our war on terror. I think we're forgetting our state and local partners here in this conversation, though. They are crucial, and you see that again in any number of frontline activities, any kind of natural or man-made disaster is going to require our state and local, our first responders. And they are, you know, the people who are on the front lines of this. And we need to make sure that they have timely information in a manner that can save lives. So, you know, good and thoughtful and fast and effective information flow is going to be essential to making sure people are moved to the right parts of the country or deployed or in a way that's going to be helpful. So we are very much in favor of, you know, technologies that can both assist but also constrain the flow of information. With good, thoughtful rules at the outset, we can do that.
Nuala, you mentioned earlier that education is core to the mission of your office. Can you describe the steps that the privacy office is taking to educate others on the privacy concerns?
Within the department, we have education programs really almost in every part of the federal service already. There are requirements under the Privacy Act and FISMA and a number of other laws to make sure our employees have been trained in Privacy Act requirements and really privacy policy. We've undertaken a particularly kind of robust training program at headquarters where we sit to make sure that every new employee has gotten a class from a member of the privacy office. We're really looking at what's being done already. Again, Customs has a terrific online privacy training program. INS has some terrific technologies about limiting information flow and access to certain kinds of information, then what we're trying to do from our standpoint is really be the champion of the programs that are working well and to say, hey, here's a really good idea. You guys might want to copy that. Or if a division comes to us and says, you know, we really want to implement this, we say we don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel, although you're welcome to go out and look at what's being offered in the private sector and get people to compete for, you know, terrific resources. But let's build on what's already there. Let's not be reinventing the wheel. So within the department, we're both the champion but also the actual teacher. And then outside the department, again, you know, I didn't talk enough about our relationship not only domestically and internationally but also with the advocacy community and the public. I mean, we really see ourselves as bringing in and making real the concerns of individuals and of organized advocacy or groups and being ourselves educated and then turning around and educating others in the department about these concerns and why they're valid and in a way that can be heard.
How are privacy concerns impacting investigative technology? We will ask DHS Chief Privacy Officer Nuala O'Connor-Kelly to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.